Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tonight's guest wishes to remain anonymous. With that in mind, I'm just going to call him Mark. Mark, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Vic. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate your time. Mark, please give us a brief bio on yourself.
I'm 50 years old, have two daughters that are in their early 20s, spent 22 years in the military. Retired about 10 years ago, spent a little bit of time in law enforcement, decided I really want to be retired. So now I run my own little business and just tinker around my house a lot.
Nothing wrong with that at all. It sounds to me like you've carved a really good life out for yourself. And thanks also for your service to our country. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Vic. I appreciate the sentiment.
Oh, you know, you're welcome. Speaking of your time in the military, Mark, from what I understand, when you were serving in the military, you actually let it slip one time that you've had a dogman encounter. What more can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. I was dating a girl back at the time, and we were watching a werewolf movie. We were watching the Silver Bullet movie, and it was a part where he was breaking through a wall or something, you know, just causing general chaos amongst everyone. And I said to my girlfriend, I said, that's not true. Werewolves don't attack you. And she just laughed. And that was the end of it. We went on. A few nights later, we were in the barracks. We were talking, and she says, tell us about your werewolf experience. You know, I giggled and said, she goes, no. I know you've got something to tell. So I tell what had happened. And, you know, there was that looked at me like I was just skeptical. Nobody laugh and joke and yeah. It was later in that week. I get called down to my first sergeant's office. And the reason I guess that this was such a big deal is when I was in the military, my job required that I have a security clearance. It was a top secret with an identifier, but it's nothing secret squirrel or anything like that. It just happened to be the job that I had, which required that security clearance. These clearances, they are, I don't really necessarily understand the process of getting them, but there's a whole process that involves everything from the FBI to the Secret Service that goes around doing background. So it can take up to 2 years to get a full clearance. So once you have that clearance, it's easy to lose that clearance. Anything from I missed a car payment to my electric got shut off because I didn't pay the bill. Anything can cause you to lose that clearance. So anyway, I was called down and First Sergeant says, hey, there's a rumor going around that you had a werewolf experience. And it, you know, I knew right off the bat, hey, be careful what you're saying here. And I was trying to say, look, Top, we were drinking. We were having a good time. I was just spinning yarn. We were just telling stories. So he kind of poked and prodded a little bit and he was convinced, okay, so you're just telling stories. And that was, it had to have been close to 30 years ago. And other than trying to tell my girlfriend one time, maybe a year or so ago, I've never spoke of it again. I did not want to take that chance.
Can't say I blame you. Yeah, that was pretty close to you losing that clearance, all because your girlfriend decided to bring that up at a very inopportune time. That's not good.
She was a very inopportune woman.
Yeah, sounds like it. And you just mentioned that your commanding officer's name was Top. Have you ever listened to episode 319 of the show, where Big Mo came on and talked about his dogman experience and his commanding officer was Top?
His name wasn't Top. That's the military's jargon for the first sergeant. He's the senior enlisted within the company. So his nickname is Top. Instead of saying first sergeant, you say, hey, Top.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks for clearing that up for me. I was starting to wonder.
Oh, yes, sir.
Mark, you were a kid of the 70s and 80s. How would you sum up how it was different growing up back then compared to what it's like now for kids present day?
Night and day. I mean, a telephone was something that was attached to the wall and your grandma stayed on it whenever she was talking to the neighbors or whatever. There was no phones. There was no internet. There was you and outside. Inside we avoided because that's where adults lived. You stayed outside the house. You stayed in the yard. You did things on your own. These kids nowadays, and this isn't derogatory or negative. I'll use my girlfriend as an example. She's 2 years younger than me, and she is just a helicopter parent hovering over everything. And I laugh and joke with her and I tell her, I said, if I had to estimate my childhood, I would almost bet 90% of my childhood was unaccounted for when it come to adult supervision. So we were just everywhere. And my grandparents, they owned 667 acres. We had a farm, doesn't work today. So we were everywhere. And we had a river that ran through the land. And we were all over. We were everywhere but the house. We were everywhere but under a parent's nose. And like I said, obviously the internet wasn't around. So there was none of that. Any type of information we needed, you went to the library. I come from a town that's so small that even in the mid-80s, we still had a malt shop in the town we lived in at the drugstore. We had the drugstore where people picked up their prescriptions, and we had a soda jerk there, the owner, obviously. So we spent a lot of times there. When the times that I did spend in the city with my cousins or my friends, if you wanted to know where all the kids in the neighborhood were, you went out and looked for all the bicycles in the front yard. That's where the kids were. So as far as the difference between growing up then and growing up now is, it's almost to the point of growing up on two different planets.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, it really was a different time back then, but so many things have changed. I mean, we could do a whole show on that.
That's right. The world is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. If you'd like to be able to listen to the show without ads and have full access to bonus content, that's an option. To find out how, please go to dogmanencounters.com/podcast. The encounter we're going to talk about tonight, Mark, happened on your grandparents' property. You just told us a few things about it, but what more can you tell us about it?
I come from the Ozark Mountains, the foothills of the Ozark Mountains. You have to go a little bit north to get into the full Ozarks, but it's full of hills. It's full of woods. I would say less than 100 acres of that property was actual pasture land, and that was just the stuff around the house. You know, the rest of the woods, you know, the cattle and stuff would stay there.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
One of the things about it, when I was very, very young, my grandfather had taken me out. I was about 10 when he passed away. So this would have been the late 70s. He took us out. He took me out. He took me into this place. And to this day, I've tried to find it and I can't find it. But I know it's there because I've seen it. So he took me out and showed me what is basically, well, it's not basic to it. It's an Indian burial ground. I would say there was anywhere from 20 to 30 burial grounds. And this is, I'm talking old stuff from probably the late, maybe mid 1800s, because this was all Indian territory back in those days. And, you know, we've obviously moved this way and occupied this part of the country. So we had that. And all along the river that I was talking about runs through my grandparents' land. It's a lot of bottom land. It's a lot of open fields. And these were big Indian settlements back in the day. You can walk down on that river. You can just darn near reach down and just grab a piece of gravel, and you're going to find something that's Indian related, whether it be an arrowhead or part of an arrowhead, or even maybe a spear, you know, the tip of a spear or something. The arrowheads and the spear tips are obviously much different. So the place has a lot of history that we don't know about, a lot of history that I imagine is just lost to time. Who knows? We also had the state had come in and leased several acres from my grandparents to quarry stone and rocks, basically just for building highways and whatnot. I would say back in the 80s and early 90s, if you drove on a road in Northwest Arkansas, that gravel probably came from my grandparents' quarry. So that, and with it being a farm, there's not a whole lot special about it. Just the Indian history, I think, and the quarry, and just the fact that we had enough room to run and do what we wanted to do.
You having over 600 acres to run around and get into things as a kid, that's heaven to me. When I was growing up, I would have been all over that.
Oh, we were definitely all over it, and we were places we shouldn't have been, for sure.
Oh, I'm sure you were. Yeah, I would have been too. All right, Mark, please tell us about your encounter now. Give us every last detail that comes to mind.
Absolutely. This would have been in the late 80s. 87, 88, somewhere around there. Like I was saying before, you know, we grew up on this land and we did a lot of hunting. We did a lot of fishing. And during the summers, one of the things that we would do is we would go down and on the river, we would set what's called a trot line or drop lines, jug lines, things like this. And if you're not familiar with a trot line, it's just, it's a line. It's a nylon line that you run across the area that you want to fish and you bait it with whatever you're baiting it with, whether it be, you know, other little perch or liver or whatever it is that you're going to bait it with. And you throw it down and it's good for catching catfish. So we had run these lines, and during the summer, I mean, this was a daily thing. We spent our lives on that river. We spent almost every minute we had in the summer on that river. So we had run these lines, and we were back home that night at my grandparents', and this was probably around midnight, and that's when we would check them. We would set them around, you know, before dark, and we'd check them at midnight or around there, and then we'd go down at daybreak and pull them up so that they could be set later again that night. So we were going down to check them, and this was about midnight. It was myself, my brother, and my cousin. They're both younger than me by about 3 years or so. So this road, my grandparents' house, where the, now I don't know if this is important, it's not really, but my grandfather had passed. He had passed in the early 80s, and this was 87, 88, somewhere around there. So the road going up to my grandparents was just an old dirt road. It had some gravel on it that the state contracted with my grandparents to put on the road to keep it a little less muddy. But that road just basically, it ran into the main road, which was a state road. But you got to understand, though, especially where I am from around here, there wasn't a lot of road maintenance back there. It was just barely above a dirt road. You know, it was considered paved, but only during certain times of the year and depending on how high the river got, whether it washed anything out. So this road is about probably about half a mile, maybe a little bit further from my grandparents down to this other main road. Well, as you're walking down this road towards the main road, the rock quarry is on your left. Now, because the state had leased this part, they had come in and put, we call them yard lights. I'm sure it's just basically street lights or whatever, but they put up telephone poles. So as you got closer to that road going into the quarry where all the heavy equipment went into the quarry and whatnot, there was probably, I would say about five of those lights, maybe 50 to 100 feet apart, there'd be a light, 100 feet, there'd be a light, 100 feet, there'd be a light. So this goes down, there's probably about five of those to get to the road. And then on the other side, there's another five or so, something like that. So it's well lit. You can see these are big light bulbs that light the area up very, very well. So we're walking down this road, and as we're coming up to the entrance into this quarry, my cousin, it was, I don't remember which one it was, but one of the two said, "Hey, look," and they point, and we can see sitting on the side of, there was a small berm, a dirt berm that kind of, I guess, shielded the road from the quarry on the inside. It was a man-made deal, but there was also large boulders on the side of this hill. Now this boulder had, the one that it was sitting on, it was a large boulder. I'm talking, you know, several tons that they just moved it over for whatever, for, again, I don't know why they did it, but that's how it was. So they point and I look and we can see, and it looks like a coyote, but the problem is it's solid white. I mean, it's just solid white and it's down on all fours. And we thought, man, that's crazy. That's an albino coyote. You see albino everything, squirrels, raccoons. I mean, it's just, you know, that little thing in nature. Every once in a while, nature says, "I forgot to throw some pigment in there." So that's what you get. So we thought it was a coyote. Well, we have been very diligent in keeping the coyote population non-existent around there. And I hear a lot of people complain about killing coyotes, about, you know, oh, you guys are out there killing coyotes and it's terrible. Oh, and you're skinning them and you're selling the skin. And I'm not saying that they're not, but I do not know anyone who just goes out and kills coyotes for the skin. But if we're going to kill them, why not do something with the skin, you know? And the state of Arkansas, the Arkansas Game and Fish, has classified coyotes as a nuisance animal because that's what they are. They're a nuisance animal. They will kill chickens. They will kill your dogs. They will kill cats. We've had neighbors, the coyotes come right on their porch and snatch a house animal, a cat or a dog or whatever. So anyone who's saying, oh, you guys are just being terrible killing these animals, I assure you, everything we did on the farm that came to taking the life of an animal was for a specific purpose that either helped the farm thrive or it was just something that had to be done. I don't know anyone where we just were going to just kill stuff. So the thing was sitting there, and like I said, we thought it was an albino coyote, and it was looking away from us, and we thought, and the thing about a coyote is you just don't, especially when they're by themselves, you don't get as close as we got to it. I would say we were at most 30 yards away, at most. And that might be a bit of an exaggeration because it was pretty close. And we're just looking, and I said, I wonder if something's wrong with it. I wonder if it's hurt, if it's sick, what's wrong with it? So we just stood and watched it for a minute. Well, I had a little 22 pistol. And that's not going to kill a coyote. It's not going to do anything but wound it. It might crawl off and die somewhere, but you're not going to stop a coyote or kill a coyote with a little 22. Matter of fact, I think it was 22 short. So you're surely not going to do anything with those.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So I tell my cousin, he's standing to my right. And I thought, all right, he's fat. He can run. He can get. And besides, I guess maybe I was being lazy. I was older, so I get to tell the younger kids what to do. I said, hey, sneak back up the road a bit until you're not going to hear us, and then run back to the house and grab that 30-30 and come back down here because I'm going to kill it. There was plenty of light to see. I said, run up there and grab that. Run in the house, grab the 30-30 and get back down here. And, you know, my line of thought is that thing, something's wrong with it. It's just going to keep sitting there. I barely finished that sentence. I mean, barely finished that sentence. And that thing just turned and looked. I want to say it snapped its head. Like, I mean, it turned and just looked right at us. And the thing about it, once it looked at us, you knew it wasn't a coyote. The second you looked at it, it's like, that's not a coyote. Because it had a short snout. The snout was there, but it was kind of short. I guess maybe I would, not like a German Shepherd, maybe like a pit bull or something like that. It just wasn't real long. But it had the big pointed ears like a German Shepherd up on its head. That's the best I can describe it. It just had that short snout. You couldn't see its teeth or anything. And it just turned and looked at us. And I know I didn't say anything. And if those boys said anything, I did not hear it. I was just locked looking on this thing. And it's staring at us. And I cannot tell you how much time went by. It might have been a second. It might have been a minute. I don't know. But it felt like an eternity in my mind, I guess. And this thing, I keep saying thing, and that I just, as silly as this sounds, it sounds offensive to say thing, because if you could have felt what we were, or at least what I was feeling, you wouldn't call it a thing. I'm using this as an example, but it's how I'm going to describe it, but it's not what it was. If you ever crack your knuckles all at the same time, and that sound that you get when you crack your knuckles all at the same time, that's the sound. I don't know where it came from. It was like it kind of moved forward. I mean, just a little bit, like maybe one little paw kind of went forward a little bit. And then you heard that crack, like knuckles popping. And it wasn't like the thing was hurt. It didn't seem like it was hurt. And it just stood straight up on that rock, a boulder, whatever you want to call it. It just stood straight up. It never took its eye. It never stopped looking our way. And it walked to the edge of this rock. Now, the edge of this rock was only maybe 2 or 3 feet. I'll go with 3 feet from the top of this rock to the ground. And it was a hill. It wasn't a huge slope. Maybe I'd give it somewhere around a 20-degree slope, something like this. It wasn't a terribly steep incline. It comes to the edge, and it just hops off. Like, it just, I don't know, like a person. Like, literally like a person. And it just hops off, and it's standing there. It didn't go back down on fours. Well, I say it's just standing there. It hopped off, and it just kept walking. And it just walked down the hill onto the road, but it just walked like that was its everyday normal way of getting around. It was just like, I'm bipedal, and this is how I get around. I don't know. I don't know why I was on all fours. Who knows? But it just gets up and it just walks down, and it just walks right to the road. And when it gets to the road, again, this is a dirt road. So, you know, it's, oh gosh, it might've been 20 foot wide, maybe something like it, big enough for the big equipment to get up and down it. It just walks to the road, and it just keeps walking. It walks right to the middle of the road. Obviously, I didn't know this when I was a kid, but I think back on it. I spent 22 years in the military. I know what a soldier looks like when a soldier is marching. And this thing looked like it was marching. It wasn't swinging its arms or anything, but just the way it was walking, it seemed the way it was marching, and it just got to the middle of the road, and it just did a complete right face and was looking right. I mean, just a complete right face, just like a soldier would do. And when they stop and they make that right or left face, it just did a perfect right face. I remember I could see its legs. The way it was walking versus how it should have been walking, how the legs were looking, it looked like a German Shepherd standing up on its hind legs. And I've had plenty of German. I got German Shepherd right now. And you put that German Shepherd up on its hind legs, yeah, he's like, oh, I'll do my little dancing bear thing and walk. But he's awkward and weird. This thing was just perfectly okay. And that's exactly what the legs look like. It looked like how the thigh kind of goes out and then it bent back, and then the legs went the femur bone, I guess. It went back down towards its toes, you know. And I couldn't tell really what its feet looked like. I couldn't tell if it was feet with you know, like long toes, if it was a paw, I could not see what the feet looked like. The hands, I could tell that they had, there were long fingers. I had a thumb. I could tell there was a thumb. It had the four fingers. It kind of looked like maybe it had some sort of claws, but it wasn't like overly exaggerated. The claws were there, but they were there. That's all you could really say about it, is that they were there. This thing was completely white. I mean, white, white. But when it turned and was facing us, it had a perfect diamond right in the middle of its chest. I mean, perfect. Like you see these animals that, you know, they'll have certain spots or whatever. And if it's a black animal with a white spot, it'll have some black hairs kind of growing around the lines. And there'll be some white hairs got into the black. This one, it was like it was spray painted on there. I don't know how that sounds, but it was like it was spray painted on. It was just perfect. It was a perfect and jet black diamond. And this thing was just white. It didn't show its teeth. It didn't snarl. It didn't growl. It didn't raise its arms in any way. Its eyes, I've heard other guests who were speaking, they talk about these yellow eyes. This thing didn't have yellow eyes. And if it did, I didn't notice them. They looked human. I mean, this thing, when it stood there and was looking at us, it was like the thing was trying to speak. I mean, it was almost like, I'm going to say something, stand by and wait for it. That's just how that feeling had. And there was I need to back up and say that when that thing came down, there was no fear. Like there was absolutely no fear. At least for me, I had no fear of this thing. I wasn't like, oh man, this thing's going to turn and it's just going to get us. There was no fear. There was a familiarity there. And I know that sounds crazy. Oh, I don't know how it sounds, but it was like I knew the thing, like, well, maybe not know it, but there was something there. It's like, it just seemed familiar. And it just stood there, and it all it did was look at us. It just stared at us. And a few days later after, I think it was the next day, and my brother and I were talking, my cousin as well. And I told him, I said, hey, look, you know, basically it's like that thing is like it never took its eye. It's like it made eye contact with me. My brother says, yeah, it's like we had eye contact. Well, that's not possible. It can't be making eye contact with all three of us at the same time. But my brother and my cousin are both saying, yeah, it was like it was looking right in my eyes. And that's how I felt. It was like it was looking right in my eyes, but it's impossible. It could not have been looking at all three of us dead in the face at the same time. But that's how it was. The whole time it was standing there, it was like it was looking me right in the face. Right. I don't know. I don't know if this is. It was like it was examining my soul. I felt like I was standing. It felt like I was being judged. Like this thing was like, let's see what went on in your past. Let's see what kind of person you are. My cousin, this guy, man, he is just the typical, and I don't mean this derogatory, he is the typical redneck. I mean, the boy couldn't find his way out of a wet paper bag. You know, he could not figure out how to open a door. But you can take him outside and tell him to strip that motor down and put it back together, and he would take a motor apart and put it back together. Hardworking, the most hardworking kid. I mean, he to this day, he's still just hardworking kid, but just dumb. Dumb as a bag of bricks. And it's not, you just got to know and understand that that's not an insult. And he's always been that way from what I can remember. So I notice him from the corner of my eye, and he's bending down, but I don't look at him. I'm looking at whatever's in front of him. Like I said, this is a graveled road. It has gravel, rocks, whatever you want to call them. And so I guess he picked up a rock and he throws it. He throws it at this animal. He doesn't overhand it. He throws it like if you've ever skipped a rock, anybody that's ever skipped a rock, how you snap your wrist and you throw it from a side angle, you know, you throw it with that side snap. He throws this rock like that, and you can see this rock and its head. You can see it in the light, in that artificial light from those street lamps or whatever they're called. And it's going. And as this thing is, as this rock is on target, headed down there, I mean, it's headed right towards this thing. It jumps. I mean, it jumped straight in the air. It, not a foot, not 2 foot. This thing had to have jumped at least twice its height. And that's the other thing. It wasn't, I don't know if I can judge how tall it was, but it wasn't like this tall creature. It was tall. I would say 6 feet, but not 6'3", 6'4". I would say that would be the height. And I think if I went with 6'4", I'm probably exaggerating. I would say it was right around 6 feet. He throws this rock. That thing jumped straight. It just jumped. I mean, like it was on a springboard. It just launched straight up in the air, and that rock, you know, obviously it went right underneath it. And this is the part that I really don't know if I remember it the correct way, because it just seems, I don't know, everything about that seemed unreal, but I mean, it was there, it's standing there. But anyway, this thing, when it jumped up, it's funny now, it wasn't funny then, because when it jumped up, the entire atmosphere, it just changed. It went from everything's fine to just heart-stopping fear. We go run. But this thing jumped straight up in the air. And like I said, I don't know if I'm just remembering this wrong, but it's what I remember. It was like, if anybody's ever watched Scooby-Doo or any cartoon where something jumps and its legs are running before it hits the ground, it's like that's what the thing was doing. It jumped. It just straight up in the air, and its legs were just, they were getting it. I mean, they were at it. They were getting it before they even hit the ground. I didn't let it hit the ground. When that thing went up and that fear kicked in, I said, that's it. I'm out. I ran track in school, so I was not worried about outrunning those cigarette-smoking fools. I knew they weren't going to outrun me. So I was just thinking, I just got to get ahead of these boys. You know, I'm going to sacrifice the weak, because I didn't know what this thing was doing. And I was a kid and I didn't know any better. So I turned around and I ran. And I mean, I was running. We were probably, I would say, at least a quarter of a mile from the house. Well, as you leave that quarry area where they go into the, where it goes in, the road goes up and then it makes a dog leg back to the left. It just curves back around to the left. And then the rest of that road is just a straight shot to my grandparents' house. After my grandfather had passed away, my grandmother, I don't want to live in the house anymore. So she left the old house on the hill, on the top of the hill. And she went down probably about, 200 yards from the old house, and she had a new house built down there. So that's where she was living. But the old house, my uncle, so her daughter was living there, her husband. So my uncle by marriage, he and my aunt were living there in that house. Well, like I said, it's midnight. Everybody's asleep already. But for whatever reason, when we come up that road, I mean, we're yelling. I'm yelling for my uncle. I'm yelling for my grandmother. I'm yelling forever. That thing's right behind me, or at least, but after we got there, there wasn't a feeling like the thing was chasing us. I didn't feel like it was chasing us, but I didn't look either. So as I'm running up the road, I can see that the porch light is on, and I can see that my uncle is on the porch. And I mean, we're getting it up through there, and we're yelling at him. He's like, hey, it's chasing us. It's chasing us. It's chasing us. And he's like, what in the world is wrong with you boys? What are you doing? And we get up there and said, you know, Uncle Herbert, this thing is chasing us. This is what it is. This is what we saw. And I, of course, I'm sure we were very animated. I know we were very excited. And he was like, you boys, he's like, what is wrong with you? He said, I don't know what you saw, but you probably saw a coyote or you saw somebody's dog. And we're trying to explain it to him. And he is adamant. He's like, and it was like he was trying to convince himself that we didn't see what we saw. And finally he said, you boys get down to the house, get in bed and knock your nonsense off. So we did. We, you know, it was only about 100-yard walk. So we boogied our little butts on down the hill a little bit and got into my grandmother's. And there was no going to sleep. And we stayed up all night. I mean, all night. And it, when our nearest neighbor might be three, it probably further, but a minimum of 3 miles. So when I tell you that you can go outside in our barn, the barn, now at this point in time, after my grandfather passed, the farm was non-producing, as in we only produced what we needed for the farm. So we didn't have a lot. We weren't selling anything anymore. We weren't producing anything outside of what we used. So we still had rabbits for eating. We had chickens, had a few hogs, you know, typical farm animal stuff. Well, even at night, these animals, they'll scurry. And especially like if a fox or something like that is trying to get into the barn, oh, those animals are going to make some ruckus and you're going to know they're there. Because they're saying, hey guys, you need a way to come out here and take care of this. But if it's a super, if it's a really big predator, if it's a predator animal, an animal that's just going to, you know, rip a cage apart or something, those things will get very quiet. They won't make a sound, even the chickens, until you actually disturb them. They will just be very, very quiet. And that was the thing after we got back. We would go outside and look. And we would listen, and there was nothing. There wasn't a cricket. There was not a whippoorwill. There was not a frog croaking in the pond. It was quiet. And anybody who spent any time in the woods knows that the woods are not quiet. Even at night, they're not quiet. There is something going on. When the woods are quiet, that's when you better be quiet. When the woods are quiet, you better sit down. You better go inside if you can. If you can't, then you set your butt down and you be as quiet as you can and you don't move either. That's just how the woods are. If it's quiet, there's something out there. And you can go, like I said, it's just how nature works. Nature's great. You can go out in the woods and you can tromp through the woods. And unless you just start banging on trees or breaking stuff, just being an absolute menace, the crickets are still going to chirp. The whippoorwills are still going to let you know what's going on. There's still going to be noise. The woods get quiet when something's going on. And that's what it was all night long. Now, this was the summer. So, you know, the sun's starting to come up about 6 o'clock is when the sun's really up. But from now, this encounter, like I said, it was right around midnight. It might have been a little before midnight. I'm not sure. But that was about the time that we went and checked those lines. So we were probably back in the house, I promise you, no later than 12:30. So you got all that time from the time we were back, and we didn't sleep. And we would go outside, or we would open windows, maybe crack open a door and step out on the porch and listen. But we did not, there was nothing, not a sound. The barn was quiet. The pond was quiet. The woods were quiet. And when you were out there, it just felt like something was watching you. I mean, just that thing where the hackles on the back of your neck stand up and you know that something is looking at you and something is like, give me an opportunity and see what happens to you. So we didn't venture far, but we would go out there and listen. It got to the point. This was, I don't know. We'd been home for a few hours. I went out on the porch and just in a normal voice, I didn't say it real loud. I didn't want to wake up my grandmother or anything. I was afraid she was going to wake up anyway. And that would have been a bad deal because she had to be to church on Sunday, and that would have been a bad deal. She probably would have killed us, and we wouldn't have had to worry about whatever it was we saw. But I walked outside, and I just said in a normal voice, I said, look, I'm sorry. We are sorry. We did not mean anything. There was no harm. We did not mean to offend you. I probably said something different back then, but we did not mean to offend you. We did not mean any harm. I'm obviously paraphrasing. I don't remember exactly what I said. That's what I said. And I just stood there for a second. Nothing changed. The air didn't change. The atmosphere didn't change. And I said, okay, good night, please. I'm going to go in the house. And I just went in the house and we never went back outside. The next morning, we went down to see if there was like maybe, well, I say next morning is probably more along the afternoon timeline. But we went down to see if maybe there was prints or maybe even if there was some sort of scat or something up there where we're sitting on the rock. But there was nothing. There was literally nothing. But then again, I mean, that's not unusual because, like I said, this road was, it had gravel on it. I mean, you could reach down and pick up a handful of gravel. So even if it was raining, it would have probably been very unlikely that there was any type of track or anything. But there was no scat. There was no marks on any trees. It was just normal. And I've never had that experience again. And other than the two times I was talking about trying to, other than my brother and my cousin, I say, there's those times we semi talk about it. We haven't talked about it in a long time. My brother, he's to the point to where, I guess maybe this was, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. I said, do you remember that thing we saw? And he said, you know, we see a lot of things at night, don't we? And that was the end of it. He's just like, I knew he didn't want to talk about it. Where I live now, it's still in the woods. I have a few neighbors around me, but they're definitely a lot closer than they were when I was growing up. I mean, I can actually see a couple of neighbors' houses. This is an old Indian place, too. Just around the corner from us, there's a federally protected Indian site where they call them the bluff dwellers. It's not like the stuff out in Arizona where you got them building all these crazy mud houses and stuff way up. These are just, I'm wanting to say that's the Ouachita or something like that. I know I'm getting the name completely wrong. I'm 100% European. We did a DNA test and I am absolutely 100% European. So I have no spiritual connection to this stuff. And my ignorance is just, you would think that because I live here and grew up here, I would try to get more in touch with this stuff around here. But I'm just ignorant when it comes to it. They have a place down there and it's bluff dwellers and it's federally protected and you can go down there, but you can't walk on it and all that good stuff. And then just up the road from me, my neighbor bought some land up there, whatever we're going to call it. And they built a house, and they're from Wisconsin or something like that. And when I say my ignorance about the Native Americans around here, oh, I'm a walking encyclopedia compared to these guys. They know nothing, and I know nothing. But he was like, hey, look at what I found here. And you get to looking, and it's a flint pit. It's a pit where they made their arrowheads and whatever it was. And it's just deep. You can get in. It's broken arrowheads is what it is. We've dug around in it quite a bit, and we've never found anything of any value other than, oh, look, that one's broken. That one didn't make it. So this is a place. It has that heritage as well. The Indians were all over. Some of this land that I own back here, I don't know. Again, I feel dumb because it's just my ignorance. I have to try to give a description because I don't know what it's called. The Indians back in the day, they would take a sapling and they would bend it over and tie it to the ground with a leather strap or whatever. And then that's how that tree would grow. It would grow up, but it would be bent over. And that tree would point towards a trail or it would point towards water. And so you see that trail and you're like, okay, well, I got to go. They would bend it so that it pointed to the direction that you're supposed to go to find a trail or find water or whatever. And you can go back here to some of this land that I bought, and there's several of those trees back there. They are old. They're old, old, old. But, you know, trees get old. And it's been over. So that's a long way around the barn of saying there's a lot of Indian activity around here. I tell you all that to tell you this. I have a Malamute Husky mix. This is not a little dog. I think he weighed in at 113 last time I took him to the vet. And the last time I took him to the vet was a couple months ago, I think. He's a big dog. But he's a baby. This guy, he just wants to go. The worst thing that my dog has ever done is I let him out one day. And he went down to the neighbor's house and he stole a bag of chicken wings out of their garage. So I went down, I gave him $20 for 10 chicken wings. But that's the worst thing he's ever done. This dog does not want to be in the house. I mean, he does not want to be in the house. So I'll let him out. Mostly I'll let him out at night because we're getting a lot of people that are moving in here and they're coming from other places and they just don't understand that dogs run around here. So they like to complain. So I've got to where I'm letting him out at night. And this has been going on for about 2 years or so. Some nights you come out here, the crickets are chirping. The night's just being beautiful. The animals are doing what they do out here. Possums are running around the yard and raccoons are tearing up your trash can. Yeah, it's just normal stuff. And you'll let, I let Forrest out and he goes and he does his business and he comes home a few hours later. There are some nights I will walk out here and it'll be quiet. And it's just like that quiet from when I was a kid, when that experience happened. It's just like that quiet. And I'll say, Forrest, you want to go outside? And he is like, no, I'm good. I got to go pee, but I'm going to do it right here in front of the bush. And he'll come out, he'll do his business and boom, right back in the house. And you walk out here, and like I was saying, it's just that feeling that you have of when I was a kid, when all that stuff happened, you're just like, man, something is out here. Now it could be coyotes. We have a lot of coyotes around here, but it feels different. I don't know how to describe it. It just feels completely different. When we were talking before, I never had, because like I said, until my bonehead cousin threw that rock, there was no fear about this thing. We weren't worried. We weren't scared. But when he threw that rock, it just the fear set in. So, like I said, this old girl that I was dating when I first went in the military, we're laughing about the silver bullet part. And I'm like, that's just not how it is. And I always just thought like that. The werewolf movies, I didn't see American Werewolf in London until, my gosh, I think that movie came out in like 81 or 82. And I think I saw that in like 95 or 96. My grandparents are Catholic. I was raised Catholic. There's no room for nonsense. There's no room for fairy tales and things like that. And there's sure no room in her house for any of those types of movies. So I was never really allowed to watch that stuff growing up. And I'm Catholic, too. I'm a very devout Catholic. So I'm poking at her, but I'm not poking at her. When she said, nah, you're not going to have that devil stuff in here, she meant it. And so I was never allowed to watch that stuff. But you watch those movies, and I always thought, I'm like, man, and I had no reference to a dog man. I had no idea what a dog man was until it maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I think I saw a couple of movies and they made reference to the dog man or whatever. And then somehow, and I'm sorry for this, but somehow I stumbled across your podcast. I wasn't looking for it, but somehow I stumbled across it. And I try every night to listen to an episode. My point is that until I started listening to your episode, I never believed the we definitely saw a werewolf, because that's what we thought. That was the only reference I had until we got to the dog man, where I was like, okay, what's this? But I always was like, man, this is crazy. I don't understand how this works. But my only reference was a werewolf. So I would watch these movies and I was like, that's just not how it is. Those things are not violent. They do not attack you. They do not come after you. So I was under this belief for a very long time, up until just a few years ago, I think. And I listened to episode 90 and 91. And that's when it was episode talking about these attacks. And I thought, man, that is crazy, because obviously, if somebody is attacked and killed, they're not going to be able to tell that story. So the only stories you're going to get out is people that survive it or just have the encounter or whatever. And it really started resonating with me. Wow, we might have been very lucky that night. We might have been like, that thing just wasn't hungry, or that thing didn't want to hurt. If it wanted to hurt us, there is no doubt if that thing wanted to chase us and catch us, it would have had us, and it would have had us well before that dog leg in that road, because we were a good quarter mile from that house, and I'm sure it could have just tore through all three of us. But again, we did not have that fear. At least I didn't have that fear. I'm at a loss. I'm really at a point where I'm trying to understand. I know what I saw, even though people tell me, you're crazy. You didn't. Well, the few times I've told it, so I can't say that a lot of people, but my uncle, when he said, oh, you boys are crazy. What are you doing out there? What'd you get a hold of? I'm at this point to where I am trying to understand what in the world I saw. If this thing is dangerous, if this thing is just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just confused. But I guess that's basically the sum of my encounter.
You hadn't heard about Dogman back when you had that experience, but had you heard about Sasquatch back then?
Yes, they didn't call it Sasquatch. I'm going to mess this up. They called it something like an Oogie Boogie or something like this. And I know that just sounds silly, but that was what they called it. They had down in around Texarkana, Arkansas, the legend of Boggy Creek or something like that. Now, this movie came out in the 70s, too. When people would talk about this thing, no one was really worried about it, if that makes any sense. I mean, people are like, oh, yeah, I saw it. There's my barn door was ripped open last night, and a bunch of my chickens were killed. I would tell my grandmother I'm going somewhere, and she would say, be careful, keep your wits about you, because the blacks had some sheep killed last night, and they don't know what killed it. I never saw it. I heard of the stuff. I never saw it, and we've got the old-timers around there who would tell you that this thing is there. And like I said, it's the Ozark Mountains. There's things out here. I don't know if this is, like I was saying, when I was growing up on my grandparents' land, this was, you know, years and years before I ever had this encounter. You would hear stuff way off in the woods. I mean, I can tell you several times when we were outside at night doing whatever it was kids were doing at night, and you would hear off in the distance a howl. I mean, a howl. And you're like, what in the world is that? Because, like I said, I didn't have any reference to werewolves or dogmen. I didn't know anything about that. I mean, I knew what a werewolf was because, like I said, we had a soda shop at the drugstore where I grew up, and they sold comics. And I know the younger folks listening to this, guys, it was different back then. We looked at comics, and we got a lot of our, at least where I'm from, we read our monsters and stuff from comics. So I had an understanding of it, but also my understanding of a werewolf was Lon Chaney Jr., you know, where he just had that flat nose and some hair growing out of his ear. So I never had that reference, but you would hear that stuff when I was growing up a few different times. You could hear that howl, but it was way, like I said, my grandparents had hundreds of acres, and especially in these hollers, that thing could howl and it might be behind you. You might hear it over here in front of you, but that thing might have been coming from behind you. You just don't know where it's coming from. But it never really scared us. It didn't scare me anyway. But I guess that's the long answer to your question. I apologize.
No apology required. Thank goodness it didn't frighten you as much as some eyewitnesses have to deal with because of their experiences. You went out and looked for prints the next day, you said, but did you ever actually go out seeking out another experience with it?
Oh, God, no. Uh-uh. No. No, 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 no. No, no, no. No. I guess that's the short answer, no. And when we did go out, I can't really call these experiences because, like I said, we live out here, and people will tell you, you will tell Game and Fish, I saw a panther, and they are like, you are crazy. There's no panthers around here. But I'm telling you, there are. Our dogs have treed them. There are things in the dark out there. There has been times, I mean, after this encounter, you would hear something. We'd be on the river camping or whatever, and across the way, you would hear something. And so you would shine your light over there, and you would get that, it's called eye shine. You'd get that eye shine, and you're thinking, man, that thing, whatever that is not little. And you couldn't really tell because it would be across the river, but you could tell that that sucker was not on the ground, that he was up higher. But again, it was nothing, anything that ever felt dangerous. You could just ignore it, mind your business, mostly how everything is in the woods. You mind your business, and it's going to mind its business. So I don't know if those were encounters or not, but I definitely have seen eyes in the dark that I was like, I don't know what that is, and I don't care to find out. And if it wants to tell me what it is, that's just it telling me it wants me to get in the canoe and get on down the road and out of its purview. So, no, I never – it's weird. I'm not afraid of them. After listening to 90 and 91, I'm like, this is crazy. But I'm still – I don't want to see it again, but I'm not afraid, if that makes any sense. And I'm sure not going to walk into the woods on those nights that – it feels like something's out there. I'm not going out there. So, no, I do not want to have another experience.
I always tell people to listen to your instincts, so yeah, I'm glad you're doing that. You described it as having a white coat, Mark, but what kind of condition was its coat in?
It seemed clean. And again, I don't mean to offend anyone. When you kill a coyote, you know that it's been sleeping in a den. You know that it's just full of dirt. It's just dirty because that's what coyotes do. They sleep in the den. And they're brown, the color of a coyote. They're just brown. And you can still see that dirt on them. This thing, it was just like, it was snow. It was hypnotizing, I guess. You know, it almost, and again, it's been so long ago, I don't know if I'm remembering this correctly, but it almost felt like there was a glow about it, if that makes any sense. It wasn't glowing, but it felt like that. But it was, the fur was clean. It's just with that black diamond right in its chest.
Don't know how to explain it, but yeah, that appearance of a super clean coat's not unprecedented when it comes to Sasquatch or Dogmen. If you've had a Dogmen encounter and would like to speak with me about it, whether in private or on the show, please go to dogmenencounters.com and submit a report. If you've had a Bigfoot sighting and would like to be a guest on one of my two Bigfoot shows, please go to mybigfootsighting.com and let me know. Did you ever see a tail on it?
You know, I can't remember seeing one. I would think that if it had a tail, that would have been something that would have stuck out. But again, I can't, those eyes, when it looked at us from that rock, it was like you were just locked on it. From the time that it stood up, you're just looking at it. I mean, I remember the legs and I remember the arms because, like I said, it's that thing where you're like, how is that thing moving so fluid? You know, it's like, that just looks normal. But I can't tell you if it had a tail or not. I'm going to go with, if it did not have a big one, because I'm positive I would have noticed it. It would have really stuck out. So I'm going to go with, I don't know.
No, I believe you. If it did have one, I bet you would have noticed it. Considering the way it moved, almost as if it was marching, do you think that lends credence to the claim some people have made about them being government experiments?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's, I don't know. I mean, wow, that's just a whole nother conversation about the stuff that the government's involved in. The fact that it felt so intelligent, it tells me that it makes me feel, and I'd say it tells me, that's not true, but the fact that that intelligence felt, that it felt intelligent, I think, I mean, the military trains dogs, the military trains German Shepherds and every other dog to do all kinds of stuff that you wouldn't think a dog was smart enough to do. So if it's some sort of military experiment, it wouldn't surprise me, just because the military is good at what they do. They're good at what they do, and they're good at hiding what they do. The only reason I wouldn't think that that's a military experiment is, like I said, I'm in those Ozark Mountains. The nearest military base to us is Fort Chaffee, which is around Fort Smith. And that's an artillery range out there. It's got a little bit of history with, I know it was a POW camp in the war, but I don't know who they kept there. There was some stuff that went on with Cuba, but I don't think they could hide that type of stuff at Fort Chaffee. I don't think they have the ability to be clandestine there. So if that came from somewhere, if that's a military experiment, it has to come from a much larger facility. And I would not understand how or why it would be in this area.
How far is Fort Chaffee from you?
Oh, Fort Chaffee is, as the crow flies, 100 miles.
That seems like a good distance, but not for a dog man. So, does make you wonder.
Yeah, that's the perfect point. For them, yeah. And I don't know how fast they move. This thing was very deliberate in its movements. It was very fluid. And the time it took to walk from that rock down to the road, I bet it took it 30, 45 seconds to walk. And it's only walking maybe, gosh, I don't know. I'm going to say 50 feet.
Yeah, that wouldn't take it any time to walk that distance. When you factor the good view your uncle had of the three of you boys as you ran back to the house, Mark, how sure are you or aren't you that he didn't see that dog man?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. I didn't feel that it was chasing us. Again, I didn't look back. So it may not have been chasing us. And if it was, it did not want us. But the thing that was very curious about my uncle, I'm not sure how to articulate this. When he was telling us we didn't see anything, he was telling it like he was trying to convince himself that we didn't see anything. There's just a lot that goes on out there. Well, I say out there, talking about my grandparents' place, but in the area in general. You mentioned the Sasquatch deal earlier, and that was really just a thing that nobody talked about. It was like, oh yeah, so-and-so, this might have happened, but no boogie boogie or whatever they were calling it. I don't know. I don't remember. But it was just something they didn't talk about. A lot of people seemed very, very sensitive when it came to talking about anything that could be considered supernatural. Back then, the word cryptid, I learned that word from your show, and that's only been, within the last probably year or so. So the word cryptid, as far as I know, was nowhere around. So anything that fell out of the norm of everyday life was absolutely considered something from the devil. Like I said, my grandmother was Catholic, so everything was the devil. And then the people around, most of the people, it was hard for us. It wasn't hard, but it was different for us because we were the only Catholics in the area. Around here, you've got Protestants and Southern Baptists and Baptists and, man, you can just throw a dart and probably hit a name on a dartboard, and that they've got that religion around here. And it was Sunday church. Even though we weren't Baptist, we went to Baptist meetings or whatever it is the Baptists call it, the Baptist stuff, where it was church in the morning and fried chicken in the afternoon, and everybody got together. And that's just the way it was around here when I was a kid. So anything that was outside the purview of God or what God does that's good and religious, it was automatically the devil. So we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, that didn't help. Although, thank goodness you weren't traumatized by the experience, because if you had been traumatized by it and needed a lot of help getting over it, Not being able to talk about it would have made it just that much worse.
Right. And I guess it's, again, a lot of people make, they laugh and joke about us Gen X kids. And I don't think they understand how on point we were. You know, a Gen X kid, we had 13 different ways to get blood stains out of our clothes so that grandma didn't know you got blood on your new clothes. So there's not a lot that really phases us. And the fact that when there was any type of trauma in our life, it was just like, are you breathing? Yeah, I'm breathing. Okay, then you're fine. Get away from me. Go away. So even if there had been some sort of real emotional trauma, I think they probably would have just been like, yeah, you're fine. Stay out of grandma's special cabinet there on the bottom.
It definitely was a different time back then. So now I understand what you're saying. Well, it's about time for us to get out of here, Mark. But before we do, do you have any closing comments you'd like to share?
I guess what I would say, in respect to everything that's going on, if I had not had this encounter myself, I would be one of the biggest skeptics. I would probably not believe this stuff. And even though I can tell you, it really did not have that big of an effect on me. I still went hunting, still went fishing, camping, all that stuff. I was a little more cautious. Things in this world that we encounter, it may not have a total impact or any type of impact on you as an individual, but that same incident, that same situation could be absolutely paralyzing for another person who has gone through that. If there is anyone who is saying, I don't know what I saw, I don't know how to handle this, I absolutely encourage you to get in touch with Vic. This man, he's very, very in tune to helping with what's going on. And I think that he can put you on the right path to getting that help and enjoying life. Because when I was a kid, if I would have let this experience affect me in the way that I've heard some people have been affected, it would have destroyed me. Because it would have taken away everything about me that was a kid of running the woods and doing this. So if there is things like this and you do not have anyone to talk to, absolutely get in touch with Vic. And I'm not going to go any further than that because I'm not capable of speaking for this man, but he is someone that you should get in touch with.
Well, thank goodness that experience didn't ruin you. And thank you for the kind words too. Having said that, Mark, thanks again so much for your time and have a great night.